Everybody, welcome to a pre-Otakon podcast special episode from Reverse Thieves. My name is Kate.
My name is Alan.
And we run reversethieves.com, where you can get 3+ blog posts every week, and you can also go there to get all our back catalog of podcasts. So, Otakon 2018, August 9th, technically. It keeps weirding me out because they keep saying that starts on the 9th, even though that's Thursday, and there's not really anything going on, but...
Nothing you know about. My secret club.
I was not
club.
Invited to it. Mm-hmm. 9th through 12th in D.C., so it's Otakon's second year in D.C. They had a really good first year, so we'll see now how things change as they settle into the space a little bit more and maybe move some things around.
Okay, before we go into anything else, crazy conspiracy theory time. Everybody put on their tinfoil hats so the government can't read your mind. Do you think, Kate, that they have started mentioning that it is, quote-unquote, 4 days because they want to go expo-style and be a four-day con?
I'm not sure because they have very consistently said at feedback sessions that they don't want it to be a four-day con. I'm not really sure if that's simply a logistics because it's a fan-run con, money, things like that, that they don't want it to be 4 days. But I feel as though they've very consistently said that it won't be. Of course, people can change their minds for many reasons, but maybe with the new space they're considering it, whereas they wouldn't have considered it in Baltimore. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. Maybe they're not planning a full day, but what they are planning is some kind of DC Matsuri. Maybe not. I think Baltimore was a little more accommodating, but maybe like some small venue or some small thing to just... Plus, I know from going to the Otakon budget meetings and one of the people on the Otakon staff does a panel for the last few years talking about like kind of a little behind the scenes in Otakon for a little bit of transparency and to let people know about stuff. And one of the things they did mention is that Otakon Matsuri is kind of almost considered its own con. Like, it's considered a one-day con, so they could get around certain tax things. And I wonder if they're thinking about doing that for D.C. So that is another interesting idea.
There is an event going on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday at the Library of Congress. So it's not technically part of Otakon, but they're doing something called Anime for All, which has screenings and a little exhibition, and there's music and there's cosplay workshops. So I guess there is technically stuff to do on pre-Otakon days, but it doesn't seem directly connected to Otakon.
Kate, is there also an evil convention, one for anime, also in the city?
I think there is, Al. I think there is actually an evil convention going on, or that there is an evil convention that is trying to be put on during Otakon.
I just don't think it has that name.
Oh, I don't think that it has that name. Nice. Or not that I know of, but there is definitely a component of evil. Back to what changes we might see this year. You know, I was taking a look at the map, so the big stuff hasn't moved around, but I think they have reconfigured a little bit of the smaller rooms and panel rooms and stuff, just to, like, exactly where the layout was. One of the things that I'm still very concerned about is, so they moved autographs from the artist alley to the dealer's room, because the dealer's room is a lot bigger. And I think that was a good call, because Artist Alley was pretty packed, and I think that Artist Alley could be bigger even, so... Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel as though there was adequate room for the autograph section, so this autograph section seems to be much bigger, but I think it's going to be somewhat of a concern because autographs start on Friday at 1, and the dealer's room doesn't open until noon. Ooh. And that's always such a huge line when it's first open. So I think that's going to be a problem. And that was a problem last year when autographs were in Artist Alley on Friday. Similar situation where autographs were starting at, I think, at the same time the Artist Alley was supposed to open. And then Artist Alley didn't open on time. And there was a lot of problems with that. So I think giving themselves an hour is better than having it at the same time, but I still don't think that that's adequate time because you're supposed to line up an hour before the autograph that you want. So that means you need to be in that dealer's room. I don't know. Anyway, I just don't think that's a good situation for Friday autographs. The rest of the weekend should be fine, but I am at least glad that it's in the dealer's room, I guess. So I feel as though they've sort of, I think, solved part of the problem, but not quite.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Yeah, I didn't go to get any autographs last year, so I didn't actually see how it operated. I didn't realize you had that many little problems with it.
It was really only, I feel like the major problem was just that the section was so close to the Artist Alley, mm-hmm. so people were crowding over there, and then so if artists were, like, there were artists that were too close to that area, so sometimes you just, like, couldn't even get to them very easily, or you didn't want to go over there because there was a lot of madness, so everybody was pissed on Friday about mm-hmm. autographs because they couldn't get down there and whatnot, so I think that's the, actually, now that I'm really looking at the layout a little bit more, I just can't remember totally where everything was previously except the big stuff. So to me, it seems like basically the same layout. There is something called the Funimation Lounge. Was that there last year?
You know, it's funny. I've been going to the dealer's room less and less. Like, the last year, I only went into the dealer's room to meet somebody. And I went there, I met that person, I spoke to them for a little while, and then I wandered around a little bit on my way out, but that is all I actually saw of the dealer's room.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that the Funimation Lounge is in the dealer's room, it's not.
Oh.
It's its own space.
Huh. Yeah, I just assumed it was like...
I mean, I'm sure they have a booth or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no, I just... No, I assumed it was a... Yeah, I thought it was a section of the dealer's room. Huh.
And the Shinto shrine, which was in the Marriott last year, has been moved to the main... Actually, duh, now that I'm thinking about this, there doesn't look to be anything in the Marriott this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that's a huge change. I don't know why I didn't really get that. So, there was a panel room. There was a major events section where they had screenings in the Marriott last year that everybody complained mm-hmm. about because you could not see the subtitles. So it looks like that's all been moved over to the main building. I don't see a listing on here for the Marriott at all in the maps section. So I think that's probably better. It was also, I think, sort of confusing for some people to get to that area. The typical, oh, I didn't even know that section was there. I didn't know how to get there. And I wonder if that will help security, too, because there was, like, a weird bag check that you had to go through
yeah.
in order to get to certain areas in the Marriott, which I think slowed down traffic, although it wasn't that, it was only really bad the very minute the con opened. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many of these little things have helped whatever, you know, new traffic flow they're hoping for.
I do know that, I don't remember this being last year, but I know this year, if you're a panelist, they re-implemented the basically fast pass for panelists, essentially. All right, we realize sometimes it might be hard to get in. So if you're a panelist, just flash this little thing and you'll basically be first through security and get to your panel on time. So I think they've realized that, you know, bag checks are now just a thing. At least they've figured out what to do with panelists. which is the answer they had in the past.
So I think the big guest in my mind this year, and presumably in other people's minds, is
that the Mystic Messenger guys. Yes.
Well, I don't know what that is, but I have been getting a lot of emails about it. So that might be big. I don't presume to know what it is, though.
I will tell you what it is, but give the actual answer.
I think Shoji Kawamori being at this con is a big deal. If you are not familiar with him by name, you definitely know his work because he created and directed the original Macross. I mean, that is... And that's not the only thing that he's done, but, like, that's where the legacy, you know, really begins.
Yeah, he is instrumental also in Aquarion, and he directed the first two Aquarion. I'm not sure how much he's any more than, like, Tomino name stamped on Gundam for Logos, but I know, like, they at least give him an honorary title on that one.
And he, you know, known for Escaflowne, and credited as the designer of Optimus Prime. So, you know, that's not nothing.
And I know, although I don't think we watched past the first episode, that Nobunaga the Fool anime is actually based on a stage play that he did that he then adapted into an anime. Yeah, he's got quite a few titles under his belt.
And he's, of course, been in the industry for quite a while, so I feel as though he's going to have lots of stories to tell and just be very, very interesting person to have here, you know. And I don't think I've never seen him at a con before.
No.
Not that he's never been to an American con. I personally haven't gotten to see him at a con, so.
You know, it'll be interesting. So we're just going to ask him nothing but Macro 7 questions. I gotcha.
I know. I really want to ask him a lot of Macro 7 questions, but I don't think he actually... You know, I'm not... It's one of those things where it's very unclear just how much involvement he has in different iterations of Macross.
Yeah, like I said, I know he was very involved with Aquarion and Aquarion Evolve. But yeah, like, I'm like, it's a little like... How much did you actually do this, and how much did you just... We put his name on it because he is an honored name.
And that he created the original concept. I feel as though that he's often involved in that way. So, yeah, I mean, still, any and all information will be interesting. Any and all stories. Can't wait. Should be good. And it's a mecha year. Like, they're trying to do a lot, having a lot of mecha staff at the con this year. So we also have Tatsuyuki Nagai, who I'm very excited about, the director for Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. And he's also worked with Mari Okada a lot. So should have some interesting stories.
And Kawamori has worked with her several times as well.
She needs to be here also.
She's too busy living off all the crazy money she got from writing her autobiography.
Oh, yeah. I know there's a lot of money in that.
Oh, yeah. She's now the richest woman in Japan. She overtook Takahashi just with that one book alone.
And then
crazy.
And we also have the mechanical designer Kanatake Ibikawa going to be there. So he's worked on a ton of stuff. I feel like mecha designers, for the most part, we don't know their names. We just see their work. But he has got a really long list of stuff, and we're lucky enough to have an interview with him. So I hope to find out all the inside information about Gundam Build Fighters. That's really my priority.
Because, yeah, he's worked on all three iterations of Gundam Build Fighters and the specials, too. And I know he's also done a lot of work on Full Metal Panic.
And he is another staff from Iron-Blooded Orphans. So I think they did try to bring quite a few people. And I know a lot of the American voice actors for the dub of Iron-Blooded Orphans are there. So I know they're kind of, you know, making that a big priority.
Just for some of our listeners, I know he's also done a lot of mechanical design for video games, which I think makes sense, but it's worth mentioning.
And we've got a bunch of Studio Trigger staff. They're just... Do they even go back to Japan? Just tour all American conventions now?
I assume there's one staff that just works on anime, one part that does tours, and they, like, switch. All right, you're now the tour group, and we're the work on the anime group. Oh, I will, Kate, answer your question.
Oh, yeah, you're going to tell me about Mystic Messenger now?
So I found out, oddly enough, about Messenger from New York Comic Con, because there was a panel about Tumblr trends. These two ladies were talking about how they tracked trends on Tumblr, and apparently it was like super huge, and it was like the one thing that like half the audience was crazy about and the other half of the audience was like, what? Like things like Harry Potter and Star Wars, like everybody in the audience might not have liked, but they knew. But Mystic Messenger was the one that mystified a lot of people and was really high at the top of like the trends. So it's a mobile game from Korea, and you get a list of anime stylized boyfriend characters, and you pick one to be basically your virtual boyfriend. And then he's basically like a boyfriend Tamagotchi. He'll send you emails and like ask you to do stuff, and you have to keep up your relationship with your virtual boyfriend by like answering his emails and like doing his little tasks to like keep his affection level up. And usually you pick like one or two of them, because otherwise if you try to be the haremat and have a whole bunch of them, you'll probably not be able to keep up with all your random virtual boyfriend requests and they'll start loving you as much. Like when they ask you for stuff or like when they message you is based on like their personalities. Like some of them are night owls, so they'll send you more emails and stuff at night, whereas some of them are day guys, so they'll do stuff more in the daytime. But apparently, yeah, they have very popular voice actors. People really like the design. Apparently it's very popular. So they have some of the design staff, some of the people, you know, character designers and, you know, people in charge. And they have some of the voice actors for the characters of Mystic Messenger.
Man, yeah, all of that has just flown right by me. I never even heard the words.
I only knew about it because I randomly popped into that panel and the girls had to describe it to people because like half the people didn't know what it was. So you would... And there were some pretty well-informed nerds. So I feel like it's one of those things that I feel is really latched on to certain segments of basically nerd fandom. And then there's just a whole other section that's like, what?
Well, it sounds like they have so much talent from it coming. It's really neat when they try to get a bunch of staff from the same thing to come and talk about a series. One of the voice actors, I think the only voice actor I'm super interested in is Nobutoshi Kanon. And he's an older voice actor, but he is the voice of Basara from Macross 7. And he's the talking voice. So he's not the singing voice. Obviously, the singing voice, very famous person. So this is the other half of Basara, and I really went out of my way in Japan to find a drama CD just to get it signed. So I'm super excited about that. But he is a lot of kind of prominent characters that everybody knows, like Guts and Berserk. And he's also apparently Knuckles from Sonic. And you must know this other character that he is, Al, from Fate.
Oh, who is he?
Lancer.
Oh, Cool Cullen. Yeah. He's one of the more popular male characters.
Well, that's him.
Oh, that's very nice. He's got steady work.
He'll work forever. Actually, based on this, he'll work forever anyway, because, like I said, Knuckles and also, I guess, Gengar from Pokemon. So he's, like, locked it in.
I think they already have four different versions of Cool Cullen in Fate Grand Order, and I'm sure they'll have more. Oh, Kate, I have two things to say about that guest. Number one, I really love the older voice actors, because I always feel like from all the older voice actors we've seen, they're usually a lot more chill and a lot more willing to just talk to you like a regular human being, not like a person who is shackled to a PR machine. It's always interesting to see what they have to say about things. And number two, I always thought you were a real person, Kate. But as I learned from that Macross panel, I saw an anime next. No one likes Basara. No one. No one who is real likes Basara. They're bi.
I mean, like him? Like, I think he's a good human being?
No. An enjoyable character.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible. He's so entertaining.
Yeah. I just, that guy does not understand the enjoyable trash fire of a human being is what made Rumikio Takahashi the, you know, multi-billionaire that she is. There's a definite time and place for that type of character.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like Macross 7 characters.
But you enjoy their antics.
Yeah, you absolutely enjoy them. I mean, at least I certainly do. So that's my priority. But now I'm kind of worried based on some of those other characters, whether or not I'll actually get in to get a signature.
You're like, who's this blue-haired guy? And why do so many people have figures of him?
This is a fake thing. Yeah, so that might prove more difficult than I initially anticipated. So there's some really cool events going on connected to the guests. So, one guest that we didn't mention directly yet is Nobuo Uematsu will be there, and they're going to have two Final Fantasy concerts. So, and one on Friday, one on Sunday. From what I can tell, they're very different from each other. They're kind of calling the Sunday one, like, more of an intimate space kind of a concert. And the Friday one, they're calling sort of, like, a multimedia experience. So I think that one is going to be, like, more bombastic, and there's probably going to be, like, a lot of visual components to it that maybe the Sunday one won't have. But I'm definitely going to try to go to both of those.
I'm going to definitely try to go to the Friday one. Although, I've already lined up a panel that I can go to because it is for fantasy and for fantasy music. So I could very much see, oh, you didn't line up 2 hours in advance? Sorry! But I cannot attend the Sunday one because I would be a hypocrite if I did not go to the workshop that is up against it. Because for at least twice on this podcast, I've gone, you know what I'd like as a panel? Somebody talking about Japanese tabletop role-playing games. They're all over the place. They, you know, they even have a small section at Comic-Con every year. They translate popular ones from the West and from all over the world, as well as having a bunch of systems from Japan itself. And I'd love to learn more about that. Somebody is actually doing like a whole workshop where they're gonna, you know, introduce a bunch of stuff, probably talk about popular modules or variations of, say, Western stuff and, you know, European stuff in Japan, and they're even gonna do a little bit of a test play. So that sounds amazingly cool. And like I said, I've been asking for that panel for a number of years. Someone's finally done it. I've got to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to hearing your report about this panel. I think it should be really, really interesting. The other events going on, I mentioned that there was a Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans panel, which should have a bunch of different people on it. There's also going to be the premiere of High Score Girl. So I'm kind of confused because there's two different premieres of it, and one seems to be just the first episode, and then one is the first two episodes, and it says with Yuji Matsukura, but then I think that that's not a guest at the con, so I think it's a video of staff who worked on it and then accompanied with the first two episodes.
Do you think that maybe the other one is the dub? Because it has been out long enough.
Oh, let me look.
I mean, I don't know any of the dub cast. They'll have like the first episode of the dub, and then the second half would be talking to the dub cast. Or like, you know, not obviously all the dub cast, but whatever members of the dub cast are here at the convention. If I were to make it Al, educated guess, that would be...
That's a very good guess. It's very unclear. Because one of them has an S next to it, but the other one has a G next to it. So I don't know what that means.
So the one that has an S is subtitled, and the one that has a G, Gundams, do everything.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what that exactly means, so...
Oh, is G guest?
Well, that's the one that doesn't say that there's a guest.
But maybe the guest...
It does say guest, but it doesn't say who.
Maybe the guests are the dub actors. That would
Okay, maybe. Man, okay, yeah. Well, in any case, I'm going to try to see some version of High Score Girl. These happen on the same day, only a couple hours apart from each other, so I'll try to squeeze one of them in.
The only thing think also, maybe why they wouldn't list the guests, is that I know they like to have a little bit of a to-da about whenever they announce which dub actors. So maybe it's like, all right, that was the first episode, and now we're going to announce the dub cast for High Score Girl, and we have this guy and this girl. And so that might be the other reason that they don't list the guests, because, you know, they're going to have the big reveal of who the dub cast is at that panel, and then a few, you know, a little Q&A for the voice actors. That would be the guess.
That's an interesting idea. The other big guest sort of event thing I saw was they're doing a couple different Little Witch Academia things. So there's a quiz or trivia with Studio Trigger. And then there's also a live drawing session for Little Witch Academia. I like that series keeps chugging along, I guess, because, you know, we've had two movies, then we had the TV series, they've had video games, I think the manga is just wrapping up. So, I mean, I hope that means maybe we'll get some more anime, that they're kind of keeping it alive in these ways, that maybe they're considering doing more of it.
So Little Witch Academia 2, Chamber of Secrets?
Yes.
Okay.
100% on board for that, so... What about fan panels? I know you mentioned the tabletop role-playing game one, but...
Well, one, I think it should just be mentioned that I think there are more Gundam panels at this one Otakon than there might be in, like, whole sections of the U.S. Just, like, if you took, like, all the cons and... add up all the Gundam panels that equal the number of Gundam panels just at this one con. There's got to be like 8 at minimum. And then just various other...
That actually sounds low based on when I was looking through the schedule.
Because but there's also like, there's like history of mecha from 3 different eras. It's like 50s to 70s, 70s to 80s, 90s to today. And then, yeah, there's a whole bunch of other. There's definitely a Macross panel. I would say there are about, like, 8 Gundam panels. And then about 10 other, just various other mecha panels. I know Pats is doing his Super Robot Fights panel.
There's a couple of robot panels that I was looking at. There's a Transformers panel that's, like, first thing on Friday, which I'm kind of interested in doing. There's a Gundam Wing retrospective, which... totally in for. I am really looking forward to rewatching that on Blu-ray, so I think I would be... I feel like that would almost, like, kickstart my desire to do that.
Are you suggesting that our next rewatch should be Gundam Wing?
I'm not suggesting anything, but if people want to suggest that as the best idea that they've ever heard, hit me up on Twitter. Oh, I really want to go, and I'm probably, like, I always worry about anything Yuri on Ice not being able to get into it, but there's a Yuri on Ice versus figure skating panel, and I think that would be really fun, so it's early on Sunday, and people don't, you know, want to get up on Sunday at a con, so I'm really hoping that I will make it in for that.
Haha, suckers, I'm a girl who gets sleep, so I'll be
able to... I sleep at the convention! In a bed!
Kid's secret weapon. Get into Yuri on Ice panels. Well played.
I've been training for this my whole life.
That's a long game, Kate. Some real long game. I was surprised that there are 2 different Fate's Day Night panels. So I'll probably go see both of those. One of them is early Friday. One of them is late Saturday. So I'm a little curious to see what kind of crowds each of those get. I did notice there are a few history panels.
Quite a few.
Which I'm always pleased to see. Like, there was, like, one about guns in Japan. So probably going to have a lot of Nobunaga talk.
There's one that's about Japanese history post-samurai era. Like, all right, here's sort of, like, the, you know, the well-known stuff. Let's talk about some of the other stuff. which I thought looked really interesting.
Whole section of Taisho Baseball Girls.
Yes. The one that I'm super interested in going to is Glittering Courtesans and Illustrious Geisha, the Working Women of Yoshiwara. It's an 18-plus panel, but it sounds really, you know, interesting about Edo, Japan, and the Red Light District. So I think that sounds really cool. It sounds like more academic 18-plus panel. But I could be completely wrong, and I will come back and tell you all. I was like, I really made a mistake.
I did learn that it is a popular thing for Japanese adult videos. That's a very popular motif.
And then, you know, like, outside of panels and stuff, I'm going to be spending, of course, a lot of time at Artist Alley. It sounds like possibly because I mentioned earlier, autographs aren't down there. It's possible the Artist Alley will be even larger than it was. I didn't find any information about there being an art exhibit this year or a special exhibit, or the last year there was a PA Works booth down there with stuff from productions, and there was also like a little shop, but I couldn't find anything about that this year, so I'm not sure. I know like Studio Trigger usually, when they're at a con, they usually have merchandise to sell, so I don't know, maybe they'll be there or maybe they'll be in the dealer room.
I think they're usually pretty bad about messaging what that little section is going to be. Like, I feel like we usually find out what that section is going to be when we're at the con.
I don't know. I even checked, I didn't see any press release about it. And I also, they sent out sort of like, here's like the big things going on at the con, and I didn't see it in there. So, I mean, it's just possible they don't have anything there this year, but I will be looking out for that. My personal stuff I was trying to find, I was coming up with like a list of stuff, and this also will bleed into like what cosplay I'm looking for while I'm at the con. So I'm looking for My Hero Academia non-main cast. So if you want to like impress me, it has to be like not what I consider the like five main characters of that series.
You get your wish, but in the worst possible way. Yeah, Minata everywhere.
No! I don't think I have to worry about that. Thank God.
So Kate, as you are the expert in the Artist Alley, and some of
you... I think that's putting it a little strongly, but okay.
You have been considered the trending stock woman of, Artist Alley. What do you think is going to be popular?
Oh, you mean series-wise?
Yes.
Oh, well, My Hero Academia will have, like, completely... I feel as though it will have completely taken over the convention by this point. I also expect to see a lot of Fire Emblem because of the mobile game. Mm-hmm. And similarly, I think Fate Go, even though I don't fully... like, won't be able to fully recognize it. I think I will be able to recognize it enough, but I think that will probably be there a lot. Those are the like ones that stand out to me as like everybody in the universe seems to be. And then I think there's the staple ones that will always be there, like Pokemon and stuff like that. Will
any American cartoons that you think?
Well, Voltron, after the reveals of the most recent season, Voltron was already very popular. We saw it a lot last year. I think that will probably be increased. Or maybe people are mad about that reveal. I'm not totally sure where the fandom lies in certain things related to that. So, I will see. I'm personally really hoping to see, like I said, what I'm looking for, besides My Hero Academia, I'm also looking for One Piece, which is pretty hard to find, I think. Find it, you know, every little once in a while. Oh, I think Yuri on Ice will still be big. I would be surprised if it wasn't.
I mean, the fandoms are different, but it still ranks within, like, the top 20 of most popular doujin at the upcoming Comic-Con. So, if the Japanese fandom is still on fire about that show, I can't see that the American fandom would have forgotten that flame.
And then I'm not sure if it's too soon, but I'd love to find, like, something Octopath Traveler related. I'm really enjoying my time with that game, which I will talk about at some length on another podcast. And of course, I'm always looking for the sports boys. I will be interested to see what their ratio is this year, because Free is back on the air, so, and it had a movie earlier in the year, so I'm wondering if that fandom will kind of like pick up a little bit, and with the other series not having a, like, Haikyuu hasn't had an anime iteration in a little while. Obviously, Kuroko's Basketball finished up a while ago, so whether or not those things will have. And even though I hadn't been watching it, Yuumushi Petal, I feel like, can't tell if it's fallen out of favor or not. So I'll be interested to see sports stuff, what's, you know, what's trending, or if it's is or not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I do sound like a stopper. What's trending? So I actually had a really good idea. Now I can't remember what it was, but I had like a decent idea for like, oh, people should make this type of merchandise, not like of a series, but a particular object. And now can't think of what I had thought of over the past week. I was like, oh, that would be great.
Well, I think it's those little things you put on the back of your cell phone to like.
For, oh, like, that's a really good idea.
Like standees and stuff, but you make a. Or, like, for grip. Yeah, no. There you go. There's
a free idea.
Al's free idea, because I'm never going to use it. Go nuts there, artist out of people.
I feel like that is actually a really good suggestion, just because I think people like to make cell phone cases, but, you know, now everybody has different cell phones. It's not easy to find the right kind of case for it, so that fits on everything. You don't have to worry about what kind of a phone somebody has.
Yeah, you just... Put it on the back of the case, and there you go. Show that you're really into Tokyo Ghoul or Fairy Tale or whatever. So, this is their second year at DC. So, I think it'll be very interesting to see how everything shakes out. I'm very curious to see how many people who maybe stayed away from the first year come back, or how many people who were in the area like, oh, I guess I'll go see this Otakon now that it's moved down here. I know the numbers were down after the move. And that's not too uncommon, but it'll be interesting to see essentially how much of a rebound they have. That's what I'm really curious about. Otherwise, I feel like the panel lineup seems pretty solid. The guests are fun. Now, I'm very much looking forward to my time. They're going to be hiccups and problems, and we'll complain about them in, this month's speakeasy. But yeah, just seeing how they go into their sophomore year is what I'm very interested in.
Yeah, I'm just curious about the few changes that they've made to the layout. I think that's going to be the big question on my mind at the con. Because for the most part, I think last year was kind of an amazingly smooth transition and a first year. So I'm just hoping that they really build on that. And I hope I come back with, you know, just a really positive experience for the things that they have decided to change. So we'll see you at Otakon.
And if you would like, I am doing new anime for older fans. It's Saturday at 6 p.m. As always, new shows. So if you're looking for some shows to watch, this is the 100% Hisui remix. It's just me and my roommate. So it's only shows that I have watched. So if you're interested, what would new anime for older fans be like if it was just shows that Al watches? Then you can check out this year at Otakon.
Flashback, 君とならできそうそう right now. Ready, set, go. 一人じゃないって思えた時から